today's agent story is not a new benchmark. It is the operating system around agents getting more serious, the sandboxes, the code maps, the setting surfaces, and the limits on what an assistant is allowed to touch. Exactly, the interesting signal is convergence. OpenHands is exposing more of the runtime and sandbox surface. Trail of Bits is turning code into a graph that an assistant can query. Operators are talking about micro-VM style sandboxes because they do not trust an agent with a normal shell. Those are different sources, but they point at the same systems problem. And that systems problem is simple to say, but hard to implement. Give the agent enough power to do real work, but not so much ambient authority that one bad step can hurt the host, the repo, or the cloud account. That is the frame for the episode. We will do the current radar first, then spend the deep dive on bounded action plus structured context, why agent reliability depends on both. Quick mat for the next half hour. First, OpenHands, a release that matters less because of the version label and more because of what it says about agent runtime design. Second, Trailmark from Trail of Bits, a code graph that Claude Skills can query, which is a concrete example of memory becoming structured working context. Third, Docker sandboxes as an operator signal. It is not the final answer, and we should not treat a form write-up as a primary spec, but it captures the pain point cleanly. And then a shorter enterprise lane, Microsoft's multi-agent automation accelerator, useful as a pattern signal, but not strong enough to be the day's technical lead. The deep dive is where those threads join. The thesis is that agent orchestration is becoming an infrastructure discipline. It is not just prompts and tools, it is permissions, execution, context, auditability, and failure containment. Let's start with OpenHands. What actually changed? The release notes list a few practical changes. The user interface now shows the LLM model on conversation cards and in the header. There is a KVM-enabled sandbox option, which can allow a sandbox container to pass through the host KVM device and run virtual machines with hardware acceleration. The SDK settings schema is exposed, search configuration moved into MCP settings, and the release includes dependency and CVE fixes. Translate that out of release note language. Why does this matter for people running agents? Model visibility matters because agent runs are hard to audit when you cannot quickly see which model was used. Settings visibility matters because agent behavior is partly configuration. And sandbox capability matters because agents need to run real tools. If the only safe environment is too slow or too fake, people bypass it. KVM-backed sandboxes are one way to make stronger isolation less painful. The caveat is important. This is a release note, not a safety proof. Right. The fact we can carry forward is that OpenHands is surfacing and improving pieces of the agent operating environment. The claim we cannot make yet is that this fully solves sandbox safety. That requires docs, implementation review, and ideally local testing. Radar lane 2 is Trailmark. What did Trail of Bits release? Trailmark parses a code base into a queryable graph. The graph includes functions, classes, call relationships, and semantic metadata. The key detail for this audience is that it exposes that graph through a Python API that Claude Skills can call directly. So this is not just another static analysis output. That is the useful part. A lot of agent code analysis is list-shaped, search results, diagnostics, coverage lines, change files. But many real questions are graph-shaped. Can untrusted input reach this function? What depends on this method? If this call is wrong, what else breaks? Trailmark is interesting because it gives the assistant a compiled structure to inspect instead of asking it to infer the structure from scattered text. And the confidence boundary? Strong on the release and the idea. Still open on measured impact. We should test whether graph context improves agent code review or debugging on real repositories, not assume it just because the representation is cleaner. Third lane, Docker sandboxes. Why include it when it is not a primary vendor announcement? Because it captures the operator psychology. The write-up basically says, I do not trust agents with my shell, my repo, and my credentials. The proposed pattern is one micro-VM per agent, with a separate kernel and isolated Docker daemon, while preserving workspace paths so the developer experience stays usable. That is the recurring trade-off. Stronger isolation often breaks ergonomics, and broken ergonomics means people route around it. And exactly. The write-up is not enough to adopt the tool blindly, but it is enough to say that the market is looking for a middle path between reckless host access and toy sandboxes. That is directly relevant to Hermes-style child agents and code agents. The fourth lane is Microsoft's multi-agent automation accelerator. What is the useful signal there? It is an enterprise pattern signal. The repository frames multi-agent orchestration as specialized agents coordinating around organizational tasks with an emphasis on consistency and process automation. That tells us enterprise vendors are packaging multi-agent architecture into reusable templates. But not proof that the pattern works. Correct, it is a template and positioning signal, not a reliability study. It belongs in the radar, not the deep dive. The security watch item is adjacent, a hackaday roundup on a Linux local privilege escalation story. The relevance is infrastructure posture. Agents often run in Linux developer environments. A local escalation is not the same as a remote internet breaking bug, but local bugs become more interesting when you are letting automated processes execute tools. We should track primary security guidance if this becomes operationally relevant, but it is not the lead today. The radar gives us several artifacts, but one question. What does a serious agent runtime need beyond a model and a tool list? It needs bounded action, structured context, visible configuration, and enough observability to understand failure. OpenHands touches the runtime and sandbox side. Trailmark touches the structured context side. Docker Sandboxes touches the operator threat model. Together, they make the case that agent orchestration is becoming a systems design problem. That is the turn. We are not asking whether agents are useful in the abstract. We are asking what has to surround them before they are safe and reliable enough to use on real work. And the answer is not one component. A sandbox without context can still let an agent make bad edits. A rich code map without containment can still let an agent do damage. The durable shape is both better maps and tighter boundaries. Start with bounded action. What does the OpenHands release tell us? It tells us agent platforms are making execution boundaries more explicit. The KVM capable sandbox option is the most concrete example. If a sandbox can run virtualized workloads with hardware acceleration, it can support more realistic development and testing while still trying to keep work away from the host. Why is realistic execution so important? Because agents fail differently when the environment is fake. If tests do not run, dependencies cannot build, services cannot start, or the environment is too slow, the agent either guesses or the operator disables the boundary. Safety that prevents work from getting done is unstable. People will bypass it. So the design target is not maximum isolation at any cost. Right, the design target is the strongest boundary that still supports the actual workflow. For coding agents, that often means file system mounts, network controls, package installation, test execution, and sometimes nested virtualization or service orchestration. Each capability increases usefulness and increases risk. The system has to make those trade-offs explicit. Where does model visibility fit? It is part of auditability. If a conversation card or header shows the model, an operator can connect behavior to the model that produced it. That matters for debugging, routing, cost control, and trust. In multi-model systems, it is easy to lose track of which model made which decision. Visibility is not glamorous, but it is operationally useful. And setting schema? Same theme. Agent behavior is not only prompt text. It is settings, tools, search keys, model routing, sandbox policies, and integration details. Exposing setting schema makes the platform easier to inspect and automate. Moving search configuration into MCP settings also hints at a more explicit tool, configuration boundary. What is the strongest objection to putting too much weight on this release? A release note is not an evaluation. It does not tell us whether the sandbox is easy to configure, whether the defaults are safe, whether KVM pass-through changes the threat model, or whether dependency fixes were exploitable in typical deployments. So we should treat it as directionally important, not conclusive. Now, Trailmark, why is a code graph an agent memory story? Because memory is not just remembering prose. For a coding agent, useful memory includes the shape of the system, calls, dependencies, classes, functions, data flow, and semantic relationships. Trailmark is interesting because it compiles that shape into something queryable. Give a concrete example. Suppose an agent sees a vulnerability report against one parser function. A text search can find the function name. A graph can ask what calls it, what inputs can reach it, which tests cover it, and what breaks if its signature changes. That is closer to how a human engineer reasons about a code base. This connects to the trail of bits, framing that defenders think in lists while attackers think in graphs. Yes, and that framing applies to agent work. If the assistant only sees lists, it may optimize the local patch. If it sees relationships, it has a better chance of understanding the blast radius. That matters for security review, refactoring, and debugging. Where does this fit relative to retrieval augmented generation? It is complementary. Retrieval can bring in documents or files that look relevant. A graph can preserve relationships that are not obvious from similarity. For code agents, the best workflow may combine lexical search, semantic retrieval, static analysis, and graph queries. The point is to give the agent a better map before it acts. What would you test first for Hermes? I would test whether a graphback tool helps with repository tree age. Give one agent normal file search and another agent graph queries. Ask both to answer reachability questions, identify impacted files for a change, or plan a refactor. Measure correctness, time, and whether the agent makes fewer unsupported assumptions. That is a good practical next step because it keeps the claim measurable. Exactly. The claim is not that graph context is magic. The claim is that some code questions are structurally graph-shaped, and a tool like Trailmark may reduce the amount of structure the model has to infer from scratch. Let's join the two halves. Why do bounded action and structured context have to be designed together? Because each one compensates for a different failure mode. Bounded action limits damage when the agent is wrong. Structured context reduces the chance that the agent is wrong in the first place. If you only have the first, the agent is safer, but may still make bad changes. If you only have the second, the agent may reason better, but still have too much authority. So, reliability is not a single lever. Right, it is a stack. At the bottom, you have isolation, file system, process, network, credentials, secrets, and cloud permissions. Above that, you have context, source graph, test, docs, logs, prior decisions, and task state. Above that, you have orchestration, planning, delegation, retries, human checkpoints, and audit logs. The model sits inside that stack. It is not the whole stack. F-framing helps explain why today's sources belong together. OpenHands is closer to the runtime layer. Docker sandboxes is an operator view of isolation. Trailmark is a context layer. Microsoft's Accelerator is orchestration packaging. They are not equally strong sources, but they are all signals that the agent ecosystem is moving from isolated demos toward operational architecture. What does this imply for a local agent system like Hermes? It suggests three checks. First, can child agents do useful work in a constrained environment without needing broad host access? Second, can they inspect enough structured state to avoid rederiving the same context every run? Third, can the parent system audit what happened, model, tools, settings, files touched, and decisions made? And if any of those are missing, then you know where the risk sits. If boundaries are weak, the risk is damage. If context is weak, the risk is bad decisions and repeated work. If auditability is weak, the risk is not knowing why something happened or how to reproduce it. Let's actively look for disconfirming evidence. What would make today's thesis too strong? If OpenHands sandbox option turns out to be niche, hard to configure, or not meaningfully safer in common deployments, then it is less important than the release note suggests. If Trailmark does not improve real agent workflows, then the graph context story remains elegant but unproven. If Docker sandboxes has rough edges that make it impractical, then the operator signal is still valid, but the specific tool may not matter. What about source quality? It is mixed. OpenHands and Trailmark are strong primary sources. The Docker sandboxes item is a community operator write-up. The Microsoft Accelerator is a primary repository, but it reads like solution framing more than evidence. The Hackaday security item is curated secondary. So the conclusion should be architectural, not a product ranking. That distinction matters. We are not saying use these exact tools tomorrow. Correct. We are saying these are the questions to ask of any agent runtime. What can it touch? What does it know? How is that knowledge represented? What happens when it is wrong? And how does the operator inspect the run afterward? Put another way, the evidence supports a watch posture and a test plan, not a procurement decision. Yes. The right next step is targeted testing, evaluate sandbox options, test graphback code context, and compare agent behavior with and without those supports. Let's make this actionable. If Chris were updating the Hermes watchlist from this briefing, what changes? First, elevate sandbox design as a core agent concern. Not just run it in Docker, but define what file system, process, network, credential, and virtualization boundaries should exist for different classes of agent work. Second, test structured code context. Trailmark is a candidate because it is fresh and directly aimed at Claude skills, but the broader idea is what matters. Add graph questions to the agent evaluation set and see whether the tool reduces wrong assumptions. Third, keep UI and settings visibility on the checklist. A system that hides model choice, tool settings, or sandbox policy will be harder to debug and harder to trust. Fourth, treat enterprise multi-agent templates as pattern libraries, not proof. They can provide examples of coordination structure, but reliability claims need evidence. And the security watch? Follow primary security guidance before taking action on copy fail. It is relevant because agents run on infrastructure, but today's artifact does not contain enough primary evidence for a remediation recommendation. What would you watch over the next cycle? For OpenHands, I would look for docs or operator reports explaining the KVM sandbox path, its defaults, and its threat model. For Trailmark, I would watch for examples that show improved agent code analysis or security review. For Docker sandboxes, I would verify the project documentation and compare it with other sandbox patterns. And for the broader ecosystem, watch whether agent frameworks converge on explicit runtime policy. The important signals are not just more tools. They are tool permissions, auditable model routing, durable context, safe execution, and human checkpoints when the agent reaches a risky boundary. That is the compact model, bounded action plus better maps. Yes, if today has one durable takeaway, it is that capable agents need both. Better maps without boundaries are risky. Boundaries without maps are frustrating. The useful agent platform is the one that can combine them. That is the briefing for May 2nd. The radar is open hands, Trailmark, Docker sandboxes, and enterprise orchestration templates. The deep dive takeaway is that agent reliability is becoming an infrastructure problem. The next useful test is practical. Run agents with stronger boundaries, give them better structural context, and measure whether they make safer and more correct changes. Full links and source notes are in the written briefing. We will keep watching for primary evidence, implementation details, and real operator reports. Outro music rises. Before we close, I want to make the model concrete. Suppose we are designing a coding agent workspace tomorrow. What is the first design question? The first question is authority. What can the agent read? What can it write? What can it execute? And what credentials can it reach? That sounds basic, but it determines the blast radius of every mistaken command. If the agent can mutate the host repo, call cloud APIs, and read secrets, then a single bad plan can become an incident. So the sandbox is not just a place to run tests, it is a policy boundary. Exactly. A useful sandbox should say this agent can inspect this workspace, run these tools, use this network policy, and produce these artifacts. Anything outside that boundary should require an explicit escalation. The more autonomous the agent becomes, the more important that boundary becomes. What is the second design question? Context quality. Once the agent is contained, you still need to ask what map it has. Does it know the repository structure? Does it understand call relationships? Can it find tests? Can it identify the owner of a configuration file? If the answer is no, the sandbox may protect the host, but the agent will still waste time and make shallow changes. That is where Trailmark-style graph context becomes interesting. Right, the graph does not replace reading files, but it can make the first pass much more grounded. Instead of asking the model to infer dependency structure from a pile of snippets, the tool can answer structural questions directly. Which functions call this function? Which classes depend on this interface? What route reaches this parser? Those answers help the agent choose safer edits. What is the third design question? Observability. After the run, can a human reconstruct what happened? Which model acted? Which tools ran? Which files changed? Which tests passed or failed? Which external sources were read? If the answer is no, you cannot learn from the run and you cannot debug failures confidently. That connects back to the OpenHands model visibility change. It does. Seeing the model in the conversation surface is a small feature, but small visibility features matter operationally. They help answer why one run behaved differently from another. In a routed system, model identity is part of the execution trace. Let's pressure test a possible objection. Someone might say this is all overhead. Why not just give the strongest model the task and review the diff? For low-risk work, that can be fine. But as soon as the agent runs commands, installs packages, edits multiple files, touches infrastructure, or works with secrets, the diff model is incomplete. The risky action may not be in the final diff. It may be a command that ran, a credential that was exposed, or a generated file that was later deleted. So the audit surface is wider than the patch. Yes, agent work includes the trajectory, not just the final artifact. The trajectory contains tool calls, intermediate files, shell output, failed attempts, and external reads. If we want reliable agents, we need systems that preserve enough of that trajectory to inspect without drowning the operator. That sounds like a memory problem too. It is. Durable memory is not only remembering user preferences, it is remembering work state, prior decisions, known failure modes, safe defaults, and previous evaluations. If each agent run starts from zero, it spends tokens rediscovering context and may repeat old mistakes. But if memory is too broad or uncurated, it can pollute the run. So memory also needs boundaries. Exactly. The question is not whether to remember everything. The question is what memory is relevant, trusted, fresh, and safe to use for this task. A code graph is one kind of structured memory. A wiki is another. A run manifest is another. The orchestration layer has to decide which ones belong in the current context. Bring that back to today's sources. How do they change the watch posture? OpenHands moves the runtime watch posture up. Look for agent platforms exposing execution and sandbox configuration clearly. Trailmark moves the context watch posture up. Look for tools that compile repositories into structures agents can query. Docker sandboxes moves the operator watch posture up. People are demanding stronger isolation for agent terminals. Microsoft's accelerator keeps enterprise orchestration on the radar, but with a demand for real examples. If we were scoring future stories, what would make a story strong enough to lead? A strong story would include primary implementation details and evidence of operator impact. For example, a sandbox system with clear threat model, reproducible setup, and measured workflow overhead. Or a code context tool with before and after evaluations on agent task success. Or an orchestration framework with real deployment reports, failure handling, and governance controls. What would demote a story? Peer positioning. If the source only says multi-agent or autonomous workflow without showing boundaries, state management, evaluation, or failure handling, it belongs in the watch list. The vocabulary is no longer enough. The implementation details are the story. That is probably the cleanest editorial rule from today. Agreed. For agent infrastructure, ask where the state lives, where authority stops, how context is represented, and how failures are audited. If a source cannot answer those questions, it may still be interesting, but it should not drive the briefing. Final practical example. An agent wants to fix a failing integration test. What would the better version of the system do? It would start inside a constrained workspace. It would know which files are relevant from search and graph context. It would run the failing test, inspect the dependency path, make a small change, rerun the targeted test, and preserve a run log. If it needs network access, secrets, or broader test suite, it asks for a higher permission step instead of silently escalating. And the worst version? It gets a vague prompt, opens a shell on the host, searches randomly, edits until something passes, and leaves the operator with a diff but not a trustworthy account of what happened. That may work sometimes, but it is not the foundation for durable automation. That is why today's briefing is worth a longer treatment. The individual items are modest. The combined direction is not. Exactly. The ecosystem is learning that agent capability has to be wrapped in systems discipline. The winning designs will not be the ones that merely let agents do more. They will be the ones that let agents do more while making the boundaries, context, and evidence clearer. I want to end with an evaluation checklist because this is where the briefing becomes useful after the episode. If a new agent framework shows up tomorrow, what are the first 5 questions? First, what is the default authority boundary? Does the agent run on the host in a container in a micro VM or in a remote sandbox? And are secrets, network access, and file system rights denied by default or merely documented as the operator's problem? Second question, what context does the agent get before it acts? If it only gets prompt text and a few retrieve snippets, expect shallow reasoning. If it gets structured context such as tests, dependency graphs, prior decisions, and run history, it has a better chance of making a bounded and explainable change. Third, what is logged? A serious system should preserve model identity, tool calls, files touched, command output, errors retrieves, and final artifacts. Without that, an agent run is difficult to debug and almost impossible to improve systematically. Fourth, how does escalation work? The agent should not silently move from a safe local edit to a risky network call or credentialed operation. A good runtime has permission boundaries and human checkpoints for higher risk actions. And fifth, how is success evaluated? Passing one test is not enough if the agent broke a hidden dependency or ignored the broader task. The evaluation should include targeted tests, relevant regression checks, and a concise explanation of what changed and why. That checklist also helps separate real infrastructure from marketing. It does. A project that says multi-agent orchestration but cannot explain boundaries, context, logs, escalation, and evaluation is still early. A project that can answer those questions is much more interesting, even if the model underneath is ordinary. So the strongest conclusion today is not that one tool won. Correct. The strongest conclusion is that the category is maturing around operational questions. The next wave of useful agent work will be less about dazzling autonomy and more about controlled autonomy, agents that can act, but inside systems that make action inspectable, recoverable, and limited. Put that in one sentence for the watch list. Watch for agent systems that combine safer execution, richer structural context, and better run evidence. That is where practical reliability is likely to compound. One last implementation risk before the sign-off. What mistakes should teams avoid when they hear this and decide to add more guardrails? The common mistake is adding guardrails that are invisible or painful. If the boundary is hard to understand, operators will not trust it. If the boundary breaks normal work, operators will bypass it. The useful version is explicit, fast enough, and easy to inspect. So safety has to be operationally pleasant enough to survive contact with real development. Exactly. A sandbox policy that nobody uses is not a policy. A code graph that nobody can query is not context. A run log that nobody can read is not observability. The winning stack will make the safer path the easier path. That is a strong final test for every tool in today's briefing. Yes, ask whether it reduces risk while preserving momentum. OpenHands is interesting if the sandbox and settings changes make safe work more practical. Trailmark is interesting if graph context makes agents faster and more correct. Docker sandboxes is interesting if stronger isolation still feels usable. That is the implementation bar. And if the next source gives us measurements against that bar, it should probably lead the briefing. Agreed, measurements beat vocabulary. Operator evidence beats launch language. Reproducible setup beats screenshots. That is what we should look for next. If listeners only remember one framing from this episode, I would make it this. Agent tools are no longer just interfaces to models. They are becoming operating environments. That means we should judge them like operating environments. What do they isolate? What do they remember? What do they expose to the user? What do they make recoverable after failure? Do they make, and the better the model gets, the more that environment matters. Exactly. Stronger models make the surrounding system more important, not less important. More capable agents can do more good work, but they can also move faster through a bad boundary. The wrapper has to mature with the capability. That gives us the theme for the next few briefings. Watch for agent infrastructure that turns autonomy into a disciplined workflow, clear authority, useful context, auditable runs, and evidence that the safer path still moves quickly. That is the handoff. The written briefing has the full source trail, but the headline for today is simple, practical agent work is becoming infrastructure work. And infrastructure work rewards boring evidence. Clear permissions, clear context, clear logs, and clear tests are not flashy, but they are how agent systems become trustworthy enough to use every day. That is it for today. We will keep watching for the point where these patterns show up in production systems, not just demos. The next useful evidence will be concrete deployment reports, measured overhead, and failures that teach us where the boundaries still leak.